In both the first reading about Jonah and the gospel, the Lord calls people to do his will. And oftentimes, the homilist can use those stories about calling to speak about how some of us are called to the priesthood or to the religious life, which is great. Right? It's a wonderful life, truly. I highly recommend it. But strictly speaking, neither reading is about the vocation to priestly life. Jonah isn't a priest, but he's called to be a prophet to the Ninevites. In today's gospel, when Jesus calls Peter and Andrew, James and John, along the Sea of Galilee, he's calling them to be his disciples. Later in the gospel, in the next chapter, he'll gather all of his disciples, and from them, he'll choose the 12. And that's the priestly calling. But before we can be called to be priests or religious, we all must first accept the calling to be disciples. And that's everyone here. Does that mean you have to go through and walk through St. Louis ringing a bell 40 days more and the arch is doomed? Not necessarily. Does that mean you have to abandon the family fishing business in order to be a real follower of Christ? Not necessarily. I think St. Paul, in our second reading today from 1 Corinthians, gives us some insight into how to understand this discipleship calling. Paul says some things that sound very strange. From now on, let those having wives act as though not having them. Is he saying that it's okay for husbands to act like swinging singles? No, he's not saying that. Is he saying that it's okay just to ignore your wives? Now, some of you just thought to yourselves, well, he already does that. Confessions can be heard after Mass. No, he's not saying either one of those things. In that opening line, in that second reading, he actually says, I tell you, brothers and sisters, the time is running out. That could also be translated, I tell you, the time has been shortened. The time has been shortened. What in the world does that mean? Paul is thinking of two time-changing events, the resurrection of Jesus and the second coming of Jesus. And with those two events, our time here on earth takes on a whole new meaning. Not because Jesus is coming back tomorrow, though he could, but rather because we know he is coming back. And when he does, this world will change, will come to an end. And second, because of his resurrection, we know that our future with him will be very different than our present on earth. So when Paul says, let those having wives act as not having them, those weeping as not weeping, those rejoicing as not rejoicing, those buying as not owning, those using the world as not using it fully, for the world in its present form is passing away. He means that in the kingdom of heaven, with the resurrection, there'll be a different way of relating to everyone and everything. Because there'll be no more fear. Relating to someone without any trace of fear of how they might hurt you or wound you or attack you. There'll be no more decay. Things won't ever fall apart. There'll be no suffering and no need of anything except the love of God. And so with that beautiful reality in our hearts, we still live in this world, but we know that it's not forever. So live remembering that our real life is yet to come. Live your marriage knowing that the wedding feast of the Lamb in heaven is yet to come. Weep and rejoice, knowing that in heaven there will be no more tears, and our joy will be complete. Own your stuff, knowing that in heaven you won't need it. Because of our future horizon, Paul shows us a different way to live our present reality. And Jesus says something very similar in the first part of that gospel. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The kingdom drawing near changes time and changes how we use things and also how we relate to others. Now, all of that leads me to talk about discernment, particularly in relationship to stewardship, and very practically speaking, to the intention cards that we ask all of you to fill out. One part of stewardship is how we use and share our stuff. Do you hold your stuff lightly, knowing that the approaching kingdom has changed everything? We Christians are called to go through time looking at people and things from the perspective of eternity in heaven. From the perspective of eternity, you know, that forever stoplight is really not that long. From the perspective of eternity, of the resurrection, how free can we be with respect to our prayer, giving ourselves in prayer? From the perspective of the resurrection, how free can we be with the gift of our time, the owning or the giving of our treasure? I encourage us to strive to be as St. Paul calls us to be, buying as not owning, and using the world as not using it fully. For the world in its present form is passing away. And that's the call of every disciple. It's what we call the gospel counsel to poverty. The gospel counsel to poverty doesn't mean being destitute. It means being willing to share what I have with others, precisely because I have it as though not having it. And because from the perspective of the kingdom, I'll need to let it all go eventually anyway. I won't need it there. So here's the homework for the week. Discern and think about and pray about your stewardship here at Newman, not just as what's left over of my time and treasure that I can offer, but rather remembering the kingdom of heaven. How now shall I pray? Remembering the kingdom of heaven, how now shall I engage and participate? Remembering the kingdom of heaven, how now shall I give sacrificially?